Now you bring it back. Trauma, boy. Woo!
Welcome to another Latino with a podcast and the Latino with a podcast. And today I'm with Derek that he's one of the most amazing hosts there is because he has a space called Shakers. And if you're a new comic or someone that really wants to try some jokes, Shakers is the place because I always, like, I brought, like, last Shaker I went, I brought a friend, he's from Chile, and this was his first time ever doing stand-up. And he tried in English, and right. that was a little fucked up. It's like, dude, like, why are you making it more difficult for yourself? But I took it to Shakers because I was like, hey, the space that Derek creates there is a space of, this is a open mic for comics to work or stuff. No one does bad here because we're not here to thrive. We're here to practice, to
develop.
To develop our jokes. And I really, for new comics, it's amazing because it's like, it's an opportunity to, okay, this is a friendly first time.
Yeah.
Why did you create the mic like that? Like, instead of like a regular open mic?
Oh, well, because, okay, so like when I started comedy like over 10 years ago, and I would do like the regular open mics. New comic, new on the scene, nobody knew me, so my jokes were terrible.
That's
my jokes.
That hasn't changed.
My jokes. My jokes was terrible because I was still trying to find my way. But it's like back then. I don't know how it is now, but back then, when you didn't do good on stage at an open mic, then you know you kind of got shunned, and you know people talked about you a little bit or a lot, especially outside. They're like, man, you need to quit comedy and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. So that had me feeling really, really bad, right?
Okay.
And so I'm new, right? Like, I knew, like, I'm like, well, help me, you know what I mean? Type of thing. So a lot of things I saw about the open mic that I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that people would bump other people. I didn't like the fact that people would come in and sign up 10 of their friends. So I said, well, I'm going to start my own open mic. And at my open mic, I'm not going to have any of that. Like, none of that's going to happen. And then that was 10 years ago. And then, because I used to run a mic on the south side, and then I ran one on the north side, like, all in the same week. Like, one Monday I would do on the south side, and the next Monday I would do on the north side. So back then, I called it bringing south side comedy to the north side. That's how Laughs in Lakeview got created. And so, like, in my journey of all of this, I've decided that the open mic, my open mic was going to be a mic to where people didn't try to make people laugh.
Okay.
That is not your job at an open mic to try to make people laugh. Your job at an open mic is for you to focus on yourself.
If you make people laugh,
if they laugh, fine. If they laugh, fine. I mean, yeah, that's good. But if they don't,
it's important, actually.
don't let that rattle you, because you're developing a joke. And when developing a joke, you have to go through all the nuances that it takes for that joke to be funny.
Yeah.
It's not going to be funny the first time you tell it. You got to tell it. And then after you tell it, you got to see what worked, what didn't work, what direction that you can go down, or even find a new direction for the joke. So it's about, my mics is more about comedians concentrating on themselves and not the audience.
Okay, how did you get to the bells? Because he has a bell system that I really like. How did you get to that?
Right. So the bell system came about because I had a co-host, and he's like, man, we should do it kind of like the gong show with the bells, right? Then at first, I didn't like it, but then after we developed a platform for it, I said, well, yeah, this will help comics. So it makes the audience interact. So it's something for the audience to do, but we're still concentrating on ourselves. So if a joke doesn't land and it's not like it needs to be developed more, then everybody in the room will hit the bell one time.
Bing.
I guarantee you just that. It breaks the awkwardness, the monotony, and it gives the comic time to think, to come back because we laughing our ass off because we all saw what just happened. And we like, bing, oh, you need to go ahead and develop that, brother. Need to work on that. So that helps us too as comedians, and you know,
it's like
it keeps the audience.
Yeah, the audience at least like, this is awkward.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, right, right. So you know,
it's, but if you like it, you touch the bell many times, like,
many times, or just laugh out loud. Yeah.
Yeah, like I love the bell, and you have 10 years doing stand up. Like I live right now, I've been doing it for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now is that where I feel comfortable in the silence, and when I feel comfortable, if one joke doesn't land, I know how to make that awkwardness like go away. And
yeah,
usually in my favor.
Yeah,
like you know this kind of shit. Like oh well, that didn't work. Why didn't you? Okay, that kind of shit. Like mm-hmm. Do you have any tips? Like, what do you do when a joke doesn't land and not getting into that nervousness of, I need another one. I'll say my best one. Like, you know.
Oh, if a joke doesn't land, you know, I shrug it off and go to the next joke.
You're like, fuck you, audience.
Like,
fuck you.
Like,
that was
like,
funny.
Like, I don't even say that to, you know, really.
I don't like to say that.
Really too much anymore. I mean, I used to say it, but if a joke doesn't land, you know, I'll just say the obvious. I just say, okay, that didn't work. And then I just go into another joke. You know what
with
I mean?
With the same energy.
Like. Yeah, yes. Same energy. Same energy. I just go into another joke. I mean, sometimes the joke is that's not going to work. But I let people know that you cannot bomb at an open mic because you're developing
you
a joke.
You can.
You can't bomb at my open mic because you're developing a joke.
That's different.
You're developing a joke. The joke is not meant to be perfect. You are meant to always try out different things. I tell all comedians, like, your first joke that did well, your first joke where you say, okay, this joke did well, I'm going to keep doing comedy. You have to understand you got that joke out of the abyss of your mind.
Yeah,
that's where you got that joke from. It was up here in the abyss, and you went in and you put it out, and it did well. You as a comic have to be comfortable constantly living in that abyss because that's who you are. That's where you find yourself by going down into your mind and pulling stuff out. Now, all the stuff you pull out is not going to be perfect like the first one. It's probably not going to be good, but then you still learn more about yourself. And a lot of times, even though the joke isn't funny, just your stage presence will keep the crowd and keep the room and, you know, and just keep the energy good.
You know what happens to me? Like, I realized after, this is several years later doing stand-up, I believe this is the hardest to do, that the jokes I like is the jokes that I like, the jokes that make me laugh. Before I was like, okay, what can I say to make the people laugh? It's like, what makes you laugh, that's your voice, use it. Even if you are like, this is so fucking stupid, no one's gonna laugh, but it makes you jiggle.
Mm-hmm.
Say it, like, because I believe comics is like, I'm gonna show you how my mind works. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna say something that you would like.
Exactly.
But getting to that point is difficult because you're always trying to please what they like.
Yep. And look, you are correct. You are correct, and that's like I guess, an Achilles heel for all of us, especially when you're new and starting out, because you're still trying to find your voice and you want people to like you. I tell comics, look. Like yourself first. Once you find your voice and you like yourself and you're comfortable on stage and you talk to people like me and you talking.
Yeah.
Like when I'm on stage, I talk to the audience like me and you talking right now. Once you do that, then you'll be able to maneuver through all of that and the right people that you want to like your jokes will find you. Your audience will find you. You know, just keep being yourself. Your audience will find you. You're not going to be able to please everybody all the time, especially when you're new. So when you're new, I stress concentrating on finding yourself, finding what type of comedian you are, and putting that out there, and then everything else will work out. Just like you and your podcast, it's not like you're doing anything. You're just being you, and I'm just being me. And then when you put it out there, the audience will find you. Now, some people don't like your shit, but they ain't going to say it. They would just say it out loud, right?
I don't say it, but their shit is awful.
It's just being a comedian. You know, we get that immediate reaction. But a lot of people are going to like it, and the people that like it is going to come and stay.
Yeah, it's coming slowly.
That's your audience. It's the same thing with comics.
But, you know, I love, like, this is perfect for new comics, this first 10 minutes of the podcast, for new comics, for comics that are starting, even for veterans that are struggling or something. This is your first 10 minutes. But usually I don't talk about, like, because this is for the people.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to the people. So I'll get out a little bit of the topic, because I always bring topics to talk about. Mm-hmm. And today's topic is, I saw an earwax removal video, and now all my YouTube is about earwax removal. Like, but there's many. There's like that. There's cleaning carpets. There's like putting like black dots out. Putting people's out. Do you like those videos?
Man, so like, are you saying that you saw an earwax
removal
video, and then now your algorithm's got like all earwax?
Yeah, my algorithm is like, he likes this shit. Like,
that happened to me one time. Like,
wait, what?
Like, I was scrolling through. You know how you're on Instagram and you're scrolling through. I saw one midget booty I liked. One midget booty. It was one. I was like, okay.
Because
it was like
you like it?
A proportionally sized midget, right? And I was like, man, that's a nice midget booty. And I liked it. But I only liked that one midget booty. So now every other thing was like a different midget booty, one with a long torso, one with long legs, short legs, arms like that.
What's your favorite?
It got weird, bro.
What's your favorite midget booty?
No, I mean, come on now. I mean, you know, I like, you know, the Latina ones.
The Latina midget booty? Like,
now, but it was one.
But now that we're talking about it, now it's going to pop up in my algorithm.
Probably so.
And I'll have to like it.
It's probably going to be on my phone. Open up Google.
I saw this is a trend, I believe. I saw a Venezuelan comic is doing it, but then I saw someone else start doing it first. Mm-hmm. And I find it so funny, but it's a guy with a whiteboard, right? Mm-hmm. And it says yes or no. And it's videos of like a midget, and it's like, yes. There's a lot of video like a woman, no arms, no legs, but she's pretty. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, there's one that is like a girl with a Down syndrome, mm-hmm. but nice body, like really nice body. Yes. The video, like the one that is like apparently the guys have been doing it for mm-hmm. longest. He has like just no. It's like three no's, and like 50 yes, and I'm like, I just want to know what the fuck he said. Like, no, I know this one.
Right.
So, the algorithm is midgets, but do you have any of these like car cleaning? There's one guy who's gardening, and he goes to stranger house, and he's like, hey, let me do your garden.
Right.
And he doesn't charge, but you keep watching the video, like, yeah, pull. Mm-hmm. Keep doing that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I got one video. It's this guy, I forget his name, but he sells cars, and he always got like some video in the beginning to catch your attention, and then right when it's getting to the good part of the video, he was like, yeah, I don't like that shit either. Hey, we got a Ford truck down here, 2023, and it is hilarious. It is hilarious because he's telling like a quick little joke, and then he sells the cars, and like he done just really blew up. But, like, you know, I like videos like that. I like animals eating animals videos. I like those.
Yeah, but I saw the ones that it's like when you see a zebra being eaten by a lion in a mm-hmm. in a lion's right. documentary, it's like,
right.
When you see a zebra eaten by a lion in a zebra's documentary, like, what the fuck?
Going on? Right.
Fucking lion. So, what's your favorite apart from the midget's booty Latinas?
Oh, well,
something that you will just scroll like, yeah, forever.
Oh, well, no. Well, actually, I don't really have a favorite part. It's just like when I scroll through, because I have a lot of comedy in there too.
Okay.
So, you know, I like watching different comedians doing different things. Like on my scroll, you know, I got, of course, the midget booty. I got bodybuilding, and I got comedy.
I like that it's like a comic, like, oh, this joke is, oh, this booty. This right, booty. It is.
It goes from jokes to booty to bodybuilding on mine. So, yeah, like, I'm not, you know, young anymore, so I just watch certain things to, you know, keep it up.
Mine is the YouTube. I have the another Latino podcast YouTube, and I have my personal YouTube. I try to never look for any videos on the another Latino to keep it like clean.
Yeah.
Once I forgot, but it was a game. I was like, oh, I was talking this game, so I look like, oh, it was Horizon. Horizon Forbidden West, this part. Now every fucking recommendation is like, hey, you wanna see videos of Horizon? And it's like, no, that was a mistake. Another Latino with a podcast doesn't play this shit. Christian plays this shit.
Damn commercials start popping up and all type of stuff.
Like, you see, like, they're gonna put ads on HBO, Netflix, all of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that it's targeted ads. So you're watching just like HBO, you're watching The Sopranos, and in the middle is like an ad. It's just a Latina booty. Like, yeah. Right. And you're like, yeah, I like
that. That's why you get the premium, no ads. Pay for your HBO, people. Pay for your HBO.
No, you pay for your HBO, but
they're still going to give you ads?
Yeah.
And you're paying for it?
You have to pay for
it. On the premium level?
Oh, I believe on the premium level, no ads.
Oh, right.
I hope.
I thought maybe. That would make sense.
We're going to do a little pause in here, but we're going to come back with more Latina midget booty.
Yeah.
And we're back. We're back. At, we were fucking a midget Latina booty there. We have plenty in here. Okay, talking about women doing amazing stuff for us, like the midget Latina booty. Like, I thought about this recently, and it was a little fucked up. Like, because I really... For men, they don't face this question often, okay? So, the question is...
Here we go.
The question is... No, it is a sad question. I believe it can make you sad.
I already know.
Okay. What was the biggest, proof of appreciation that a woman have ever done for you? Because I made myself that question, and it was... really difficult to answer, because you see, like, women like oh yeah, once a guy drove from California to Chicago just to meet me, or like things like that, like, oh, a really show of love. I asked myself that, and it was a hard time being like finding something really a big proof of appreciation.
You need your older woman, bro.
Yeah, I
women, your age ain't shit. You need you an older woman that have been around the block.
He's gonna cry now.
To treat a man, that's what you need. See, I understand. If I was your age, you're right. That would probably be a hard question to ask. But I'll be 54 in September. So look, with me and my girl, what she did for me was like, and it's of course my life is all comedy related. So for the first few years of my life doing comedy, right, had a little money in the beginning, that ran out. So for about 2 years, she actually supported me to come out and do comedy.
That's
for about
beautiful.
2 years until I was able to get back on my feet and start making money again, doing comedy, you know, and other stuff. So cut forward to today. So she took 2 years of her life and she invested in me. And now she lives the life of luxury right now for the rest of her life. She works from home. We have a 4-bedroom house, 2 baths. Of course, I pay for all of that now. And it's just us. It's just us. And it's her house. She does whatever she wants with it. I just go out, do comedy, come home, and play Fortnite during the day. She helps me take care of my daughter.
As you should.
Yeah, she helps me take care of my
daughter. You still play Fortnite?
Yeah. I play Fortnite every day, sir.
Dude,
I'm waiting for the new season.
No, I was a little, inside here
I
with Fortnite.
I get 140-some crowns every season, and that's low.
I was done with Fortnite, because at some point I was like, they're updating the shit too much. I don't understand anymore. That's it. Bye.
Man, look.
The brother of my roommate, he plays Fortnite, but he's like 13. He's like in the top 2,000 in the world. He's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But getting back to, this is also comedy related.
Of course.
The best things, I believe, a woman did for me was, I'm going to tell you like the story of the worst, because it was immediately followed by the best. The worst was, this girlfriend, she was toxic as fuck. I like to think she was toxic with me. She's not a toxic person, but our relationship wasn't, like, good. But she said the most hurtful thing someone can say to you ever. She said to me, I wanted to do stand-up. Like, I have, like, this, like, okay, I want to do it, so I never try it. But I told her, hey, I'd like to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your girlfriend. You're expecting, like, kind of a support, like, a little push. Like, yeah, let's do it. She said to me, whenever you're going to do stand-up, let me know, because I don't want to go when you're going to do it, because they're going to make fun of you. And it will be a shame on me if they see me with you when you get down.
Mm.
Love. She said that, and I didn't try stand-up when I was with her. We lasted like 4 more months or something like that. Mm. The next girlfriend, she was super supportive. She was amazing. And this, I believe, is the best I think a woman have done for me.
Mm-hmm.
She helped me create my first set. She practiced it with me.
Yep.
She was like, okay, change this. This could mm-hmm. be better. Maybe this angle. So she helped me create my first 4 or 5 minutes.
Set. Yep.
And I believe I will be thankful forever for that, because that was amazing. Like, I like find something that I love to do, that is a stand up. Mm-hmm. And this person helped me find this, yep. finding this.
Yep.
And it's like, but it was tough to, like, this was my first thought, and I was like, do I have another, like, big proof of appreciation that a woman have done to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but I believe more small ones than I... Mm-hmm. I believe this was a big moment. It's like, she took her time
mm-hmm.
to help me try something new.
It is, because it was all for you.
Exactly,
all for me. You have to understand, like, the focus was on you and your dream and the needs that you had then, not just at... as a comedian, but as a person. So,
and
yeah.
And that was wholesome. That was amazing.
Right.
Where
is she now?
She's in New York. Like, I probably will visit her. But okay. She's married. Like,
married?
But we have a really nice relationship. And okay. Even, like, I'm happy that she's where she is now. I believe we were a good couple. But mm-hmm. I do believe she's better with the person she's now. They have, like, I believe, better, yeah. like, matching.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for her. Like, this is the good relationship.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I feel like I have a lot of appreciation for her.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I believe this is a nice topic. Do you have many exes?
Hmm?
You have exes? Many
oh,
exes?
Yeah, see.
A lot? A bunch?
Yes. Yes, I have quite a few exes. Fun fact, my present girlfriend and my exes are friends.
What do you mean, your present girlfriend?
My wife. My fiance.
You were in
prison? Like we're not... my present girlfriend.
I understand prison. I'm like, what?
No. Not prison. My present. Not prison girlfriend. My present girlfriend. Jesus Christ.
Now,
talk about accents and dialects and miscommunications. God,
this is another thing with a podcast.
Prison.
Okay?
Prison girlfriend. No, man.
Hey, there's people out there that have prison girlfriends, okay? Those are amazing, too.
My present life partner. How about that? My present life partner. She's good friends with my exes, too, because, you know,
nice.
Like you, like, a few of my exes, we had a good relationship when we had it, but, you know, it just didn't work because I went into another direction or they grew into another direction.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it was a bad relationship, so we're all still friends. Like, I understand that's how it happens sometimes. Like, the one I have now, she's not going to leave. She already told me that.
She's prison girlfriend. So you see, I'm at like, the end.
Life partner, present. P-R-E-S-E-N-T. Not prison. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but she's incarcerated by your love. No?
Yeah. Incarcerated. Yeah, see.
Incinerated.
We're
going
to be doing this for the whole thing. You yeah. try to get me on. I swear to God, I get him back. I swear to God, I will.
But I hate the... I believe it's more when you're in your... 20s,
oh, yeah.
teenager year to 20 something, that there's like this image of hating your expert, like, boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, I'm telling you, this one, that the one that told me that was like super hurtful in the moment, like, now I'm like, she was toxic with me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she came to Chicago. I didn't catch her in time, but I was like, hey, do you want to have a coffee? Because I appreciate her beyond, like, our relationship was not good, but for some reason we got together. I don't understand this hating exes.
Sex. Go ahead.
No, not even sex. We didn't have that. I'll say it here. We didn't have that ever. That was actually why we broke up.
You had a relationship with no, nothing?
Yeah, for
oh god,
for a while. Because she was a virgin. I was like, I'm respectful.
Oh, but, okay.
But she's like, oh, I'm not ready. I'm pretty sure she fucked someone like 1 month after we broke up. Someone that pushed her to that.
That's usually how it happens.
but she's not a bad person.
I'm sorry.
I forgive you.
She wasn't ready, but then after I broke up, she got really ready quick.
She was really ready.
She got ready quick.
She's like, okay, now I'm ready. Like, no, I believe she did it with someone that pushed the boundary. This is something that I don't know if it happens to nice guys or me in particular, but I was always respectful of, like, oh, I'm not ready? Okay, you're not ready.
Oh, okay.
I believe there's people who push that, like, come on, like, nothing's going to happen. It's just the head.
Oh, yeah,
it's
let me put the tip in. Right.
It's just the tip. And these guys end up fucking the person. And you don't fuck the person when you were like, no, if you don't feel ready, I'll wait for you. Like, I believe it's weird, but maybe if I was a little more pushy, we would have done it. But
I understand what you're saying.
I don't know, because it's a weird topic, because it's like,
Chris just saying he ain't got game. I understand. Chris ain't got game.
How was your first time?
The other dude had game.
How was your first? Have you fucked a virgin ever?
Hell yeah.
And you were like, it's just a tip.
Hell yeah.
What was your game?
Hell yeah. Well, see, you have to understand, I was 13. That was years ago. Women were different back then.
I know, it was years ago. Like a little. Like,
right.
41 years ago.
Women were different back then. So, you know, it's like they were really aggressive.
That was not the word I was expecting.
they were really aggressive. Like, come here. Had the nice little body, like, you know, I was young, had a little V and all that good stuff. And, like, you know, where I'm from.
She was older than you?
Yeah. Yeah, she was. I was 13. She was like 15, so she was already doing it.
Okay.
But she just wanted to do it with
me.
Then
she was not a virgin.
No.
This is your for when you were.
No, right. Me. Okay. Me. Okay. I was 13.
So you were in prison, right?
Not prison. Stop going to prison, dude. That's racist. But no.
A little bit, actually.
No. My first virgin I had at 17, where the girl was a virgin. I had her at 17. And
you push? You feel you push a little bit the boundary of, like, oh, I respect you or not.
Well, ready. I asked emphatically.
Okay. Your game.
I asked emphatically and wondered, you know, when and, you know, what to make you comfortable and, you know, all that. And then, you know, eventually because of all her friends was doing it.
Like peer pressure to be initiated.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. It wasn't you. Yeah, it was her.
Because
girlfriend.
If she didn't do it, one of them was going to do it. I was like, hey.
Okay, but I want to know your first time, because 13 is like a little young.
Not where I'm from. Not in 83.
But it was at your house, her house, in a car.
Oh, no, her house.
Her house.
Yep.
No parents in her the house.
Nope.
Like, yeah, no, the parents were there. They were watching.
Hey, I don't know if they were there or not, because I climbed in through a window, so they probably was.
Like the old times.
Right. Like and look, true story. So, like, that was my first time, right? And so after I left, it was like my mind was blown. Like I actually ran all the way home. I was geeked. I had to tell somebody. So I told my cousin, like, nigga, I just got some pussy.
There were no cell phones. So
no, I want no cell phones.
He have to go house to house.
I had to run home.
But you got to knock on friends' door. Like,
right. Man, it was about 5-6 blocks, man. I was happy. I swear to God, look, I went back that whole week. Because, you know, it wasn't no phones to call people back then. So,
exactly.
So you have to go over there, like, knock on the window or some shit like that, or throw a rock at a window to see if she up or see if she in. Man, I was over there the whole way. I'll be back tomorrow.
Or you have landlines.
You can't call nobody.
Exactly,
house.
Because the landline, you were just calling, and it was like,
I'm 13.
Hey, what's up?
I'm 13. My exactly. mom is not going to let me use her phone.
But
who you calling?
But even if you use the landline, what's the chance of the dad picking up?
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to be like, hey, can you pass me whatever
right,
the
right,
name?
Right, 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 your daughter, yeah.
But that moment of like,
mm-mm.
Yeah, hello? And he's like, fuck.
Yep.
I was in many moments that I called a dad pick up, and I was like, bye. I'm not doing this. And at 13, it's like,
Man, those are the times.
Because it was interrogation. It was like, let's call her Miriam for this shit.
Right.
You were fucking Miriam, and you were calling the house, and the dad pick up, and you gotta be like, hey, is Miriam home with your little 13-year-old boys?
Right.
And this dad was gonna be like, yeah, she's, who I'm talking to? And I was like, well, bye.
Yeah, and see, back then, parents, if they had a problem with a kid, they went to the other parent's house. Like, they'll come to your house and talk to your mama and daddy, and they bring their door up like, your son was doing this. Like the community was different back then.
And there were some spanking. It was like, no, he's a child.
Spanking. Oh, you're so sweet. I'm black, nigga. I got beat. Spanking.
Like
I'm a little white kid.
But like close.
No. We got big fist, iron, tree limb.
Yeah, the cord.
A pair of skates one time. Pots, pants. yeah, whatever was accessible. And close by, you got hit with it in my house.
Yeah, but that happened. No, it was not like now that it's like, no, you got to do like a positive reinforcement for this. Like, no. Come on. And there's a joke about this from a Venezuelan comic that is like, in Venezuela, it was used the belt, like mm-hmm. a leather belt.
Right.
And they like spank it.
Spank it, right. Smack it like.
Yeah, they smack it. But
make that noise.
You were the one that had to find the belt.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like,
of course.
Like, come get me my belt. And it's like you were the one finding the weapon to get like, fucking beat up.
Yep.
But and that was the way it is. You're like, you knew what was going
to
happen.
That was the same way in the black community. They'll tell you to go to the tree and get a switch off so they can hit you with it. Like, you got to pick your your beating stick.
It didn't happen that you grabbed, like, a small one. They're like, no. Go again.
One time. And this is the honest to God truth. One time, because I got like some bad grades in school and stuff. So, you know, I got hit bad. And then so the next semester, I actually still had like kind of bad grades. So I went through the whole house and I hid all the belts in the oven. Right?
Okay.
So my parents came home and they're looking for belts. And they can't find the belts. So they just, my mom, I think she got the extension cord off the coffee pot, because back then a coffee pot had like this cord on it. It was like rubber or some shit like that. And she hit me with that. So like, you know, the coffee pot with the thing would hit you. So it made like all these U's on my body. So I had like all these U's from the extension cord, welts and stuff on my body. And I never told them about the belts in the oven. So my mom was cooking, so she just turned the oven on. Then she smelled the belts burning. And she looked at us, all the goddamn belts. And she beat my ass again. Oh, goddamn.
And now with the belts.
Put that oven up.
Like, let's double mark those fucking U's.
Right. Oh, man, you bring it back. Trauma, boy.
like my mom was not used to hit us or my dad. They were more of a threat.
Oh no! The
only time I remember she hit us, she hit me. She was supposed to hit my sister. My sister is younger mm-hmm. than me. We were playing with a ball, and you know these like Costco, Walmart, like fruity balls. That mm-hmm. they're like for like the beach. And we're playing with one of those, and those shits bounce a lot. And she have like my sister had like a clock mm-hmm. that it was like Minnie Mouse style, right. Or something like that. My on sending send it from United States. So it was a little love for that clock. Mm-hmm. The ball bounced in the wall, ball bounced in the other wall, and just hit the clock like straight and like with enough force that the clock like just like jump out of the nail. Mm-hmm. Paf, fucking broken.
Broke everywhere.
And I believe my mom had a bad day because she was already angry. She was angry for something by herself, and this happened. Mm-hmm. She heard like the glass breaking. Slash. She just came out with the bell and grabbed my sister. She didn't even ask.
What happened?
She was like, because it was on my sister's bedroom. She was like, connection, it is on her and the sister. She was. I had to put my hand, like, she grabbed my sister and mm-hmm. started like going to spank her. I put my hand. I was like, it was me. Like, right. Just like, if you're going to do it, do me. Because I was the one who like kicked the ball. So it was my fault. But, and then she spanked me. But I believe that change of direction just mm-hmm. like calmed her because she was like in the moment, like, yeah. Right. And then she's like, what am I doing? Like, right. I was like, do me. And she was like, whoa. maybe she was like, I believe he's liking this. I'm gonna stop right now.
Right.
Do you have any spanking kinks? No? Hitting kinks?
No, I don't have any spanking kinks. I don't have any hitting kinks. I'm not that.
Yeah, kinky. You're locked down with what happened to me.
Wait. No. Yeah. I don't like getting spanked or hit anymore. I do like choking though. I like choking people.
Of course, people.
choking, not being choked, no.
I like
no,
choke no. dogs while I'm doing like what no. the fuck? Okay, well, this is the episode, Reliving Traumas with you. Look, we're going to have the bonus content, but for now, this is the episode.
And thank you for having me, bro.
Dude, highlights, midgets, midget booty Latinas.
Midget booty Latinas.
And spanking. And how you were raised.
Burn them.
Adios.